We've been talking about building below the baseline and what it means to be in this one. One of the areas we've been talking about is doing what? Oh, there's one. Partially fit. It's already partially done for you. Man, look at there. So building below the baseline means to do what? Setting a foundation, good. What is one of the key things that we've talked about with that building below the baseline for a Christian? What is it? We've talked about this over and over. What it does? What building below the baseline does?
Lots of stuff.
So I know my question is so vague. You're like, I'm trying. Why can't you just come up with the answer I have in my head, right? No. So one thing I wanted to say is what comes out of our life doesn't come out of what's on the surface. It comes out of what's below the baseline. So when what people see, we talked about what's the illustration we talk about with that. We've talked about it all along. What you see is just up above, but most of it, iceberg, thank you. It's an iceberg, right? So in an iceberg, you see just a little piece, but most of what it is below, right? Below the waterline. Same thing for a believer. What people see coming out of your life is really a product of what you've built below, okay? And so here's the thought of like this. You can't just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. New Year's is coming up, right? I'm going to turn over a new leaf, make some New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do things better. I'm going to be that better person, right? Doesn't that sound great? Sound like I'm just going to do a couple things and I'm going to have a new life. Well, it doesn't really work like that, unfortunately. We can't just do, you know, like we could flip a couple switches and, whew, new life. No, it's really what's built below, inside in our heart, in our life, in our daily life where nobody sees us. Right, what we do between with me and God, that really below that, that's what's going to produce. So when something comes out of you, out of your life, whether it's your speech, your behavior, your attitude, your thankfulness, your interaction, right? All these things, your punctuality, maybe your consistency, your accountability, right? All those things we might say in some are good Christian, good characteristics. When we see those things or we see a lack of them in our own life, it's really a product of what's being built below the baseline, right? And so this morning, and what we've been continuing to talk about being filled with the Spirit, And so we've talked about some of these areas. Do I still have those? Yeah, remember we talked about a couple. Remember the Addams Family? Not the show, the Addams Family. But the Addams Family that built their house up on stilts. Right? They built them up on stilts. Why did they build them up on stilts?
So the storm can't take them out.
Right. And so what they did is they prepared for the storm. Right? And when others did not prepare for the storm, it's only those that prepared what's below that actually, and people thought they were ridiculous. You're being too much. You're being too much. I've been down in Texas, and you go down along the coast, you see all the houses like this. And you say, why would it need to be that high? And people say, this is ridiculous. You're not going to need it. You're wasting time. You're wasting money. You're wasting effort. You really don't need to go that deep. You don't need to spend that much money. You don't need to do all this. You don't need to go to that effort. You don't need to be that consistent in church. You don't need to be there at every time. You don't need to really read your Bible. You don't need to really pay attention. You don't need to really engage. You don't need to respond. People say, I don't think everybody needs to do that all the time. Preparation is the difference maker. And so we're talking about that in the thing of the Spirit. So we talked about the Spirit-filled path. I'm sorry, did somebody say something?
The
It does make a difference. That's right. We talked about, number one, the Spirit-filled path. It's a path of caution, a path of consecration. We talked about the Spirit-filled purpose, which is a determined purpose, a yielded purpose. Yielded purpose is the big one right there. And now we're talking about, number three, the Spirit-filled product. Right? You're talking about the product a little bit this morning. So the last three verses of our text define the way the Holy Spirit affects the life of one who is under His control. Now we dealt with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. So the last three verses, somebody read for me, for us together, verse 19 through 21, please.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to see something from these scriptures. We're going to find out when, and I want to keep this part in our mind, when we are filled with the Spirit. Okay. What comes first? These actions or the filling of the Spirit of God? It's the filling of the Spirit of God. Okay. We don't do stuff to get filled. Right? We don't get to the altar and pray, God, fill me. Right? It's not really how that works. And what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? I just said the word just in one of the titles. His control of our life, which means we have to be what? Yielded. When we're yielded, we become filled, which means under the control of the Spirit of God. So we don't sit there and say, God, control me. Right? Like some Pentecostal kind of thing. God, fill me so I can go into the... No, what it is we make choices to yield, and then the Spirit of God fills us, and then these actions come out. So when we are filled with the Spirit, there's going to be a different product that is produced in us. Galatians 5 further describes how the fruit of being filled looks like. Somebody can read that, 22 through 25.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
Yeah, they that are Christ's have crucified the what? Flesh with the affections and lusts. So these qualities are ones, well, this is what I'm going to say here. Every growing Christian desires. Every what kind of Christian?
Growing.
Not every Christian, but every growing Christian. In other words, a Christian that wants to grow. One that says, I'm not satisfied with my relationship with God. Doesn't mean we have a bad relationship. As a matter of fact, it's just quite to the contrary. It means we already have a good relationship with them. And so the concept then is to have a relationship that now that desires more. That desires more. John, can you help me? So, good. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So, the growing Christian desires more. And so, when the Christian grows, when they desire to grow, they're going to seek this. You're going to seek to have some of these qualities. I want to be filled with joy. Right? I want to have peace in my life. Right? And love and all these kind of things come up. But they don't just come because we try really, really, really hard to be peaceful. You ever try to be peaceful and it breaks pretty quick? And then you're mad at yourself and then you got anger because you're not as peaceful. And I try so hard to be peaceful. These people just drive me crazy. You ever feel like that? Regularly. Right? I just try to have more faith. I tried to have faith, but it didn't work. See, you can't try yourself into being filled with the Spirit. That's not how this works. They come as we yield our desires to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to produce His fruit in us. Lord, I want to yield myself to Your will, your way and surrender mine. And when I'm willing to do, when I yield, this is so simple that it's almost kind of doesn't, it can't be that simple. It really is. If I will yield, say, God, whatever you want in my life, these things come. You think, like, they come automatically? Yes, if I would say that. That doesn't mean we're, like, perfect and all those things, but they come there. There becomes this, you know, and this is why people say, you're a different person. You're not the same person you used to be. And it's not sometimes somebody gets saved and that happens, but also sometimes somebody grows in Christ, begins yielding to Christ, and, like, wow, you're different. And they say, what is different? And really, can I say, sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to explain it. Well, what's so different in you? Yeah, well, and how did you do it? I didn't. Yeah, I yielded. Yeah, but how does that work? Just come to this Sunday school. Because it's a little bit, okay, look here. Hey. It is a product of joy. It's a product of joy. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So a spirit-filled person is a person who experiences the joy of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say, I said it already, I want to say it again. We don't joy ourselves into being spirit-filled. Does that make sense? What I'm not saying here is if you want to be spirit-filled, you're going to have to just really try to have joy. I'm explaining to you what a spirit-filled person has, not how to get that. How do we get spirit-filled?
Yield.
Okay, now what does it look like? Here's what it looks like. This is the kind of person who people like to be around. Because their joy permeates through their countenance, through their actions, and through their words. This, you're like, man, I wonder what that looks like. The people that you want to be around, the person that joy just kind of, it kind of seeps out of them. And you want to be, and I'm not talking about somebody that's a jokester. I'm not talking about somebody that's just fun and does things like that. I'm talking about joy. And you know the kind of people that just, wow, there's just something about their, and I'm not just talking about being positive. Talking about the joy of the Lord. It's our nature. It's our nature to express our admiration. And this is often through song. And the song of one's heart is a clear indication of who one admires. You know, I don't even know any words. I was going to say some words, but I don't know any of the words. I forgot all the words of that stuff, the heavy metal and hard. I don't even know what they say. Did I ever know what they said? The words don't matter. It's just, let's get pots and pans and bang them together. And then some of these people, the rap music and the things they talk about are really sweet too. I can't say any of those words. But what I'm saying is, Brother Jet talked about that music is not neutral. It's not neutral. We sing about who we, and he talks about getting a song every day, having a song in your heart and thinking about that, right? And this song that kind of just gets in your heart and you think about. To have a song in our hearts during happy times is human. It's just human to have a song in our heart, you know, something we enjoy. But to have a song and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, as it said there, in our heart, but to have a song in our hearts during difficult times is supernatural, right? Having a song when everything's going great that's how it goes. But happiness depends on what is
happening.
What's happening, right? Happiness depends on what's happening, and when that goes away, your song goes with it. But if it's the joy in our heart, so the spirit of joy does not rest in our circumstances, or rather because our circumstances. The spirit of joy doesn't say, well, our circumstances changed, so, you know. It comes from the confidence we have in God, okay, who never changes, right? God never changes. So it is a settled inner peace because we trust God. Now, the Bible tells us of these couple of fellas, Paul and Silas. They were beaten and imprisoned. Sound like a good time? Right, yet in their darkest hour, of being beaten and imprisoned and in shackles and in stocks there. They had joy, and what did they do? They sang. Somebody read for us Acts 16:25. So at midnight, after they'd gone through this, it's late at night, he's like, can you see, what do you think we should do now? There's a song that's been running through my head. I just can't get it out. And so can we just sing a verse or two? Paul said, that'd be awesome. So should we sing like this? No, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Right? They just got going. To where the whole prison heard him, like, what's going on? It's midnight. Can you imagine people throwing stuff in? Go to sleep. We're trying. I don't know. You know, sometimes you got to get off the bus and think about what's going on there. What an amazing situation. The cry for emotional relief today, right? It's prevailing in our culture. Medications, therapists. Psychoanalyzing, right? All this stuff, this emotional support. And I'm just, you know, we got emotional support animals. Our animals have emotional support animals, right? We've got this deal around Titusville that says service dogs only. Because you know what it takes to get an emotional support animal?
Nothing.
Almost nothing. I mean, you've got to go and tell your doc, hey, doc, I'm just a little bit stressed. Could you sign this document saying I could have an emotional? And they're like, yeah, it's fine. Doctor's like, yeah, it's fine. That'll help. Who wouldn't that help to have some dog that? I mean, aren't all dogs kind of emotional support? I mean, they don't provide anything unless it's a chicken. They provide eggs, so that's my emotional support animal right there. Chickens that feed me. So around Titusville, at least, they got signs all over service dogs only. You go in there, people are bringing their dogs into, anyway, where did I get off on that? Emotional, with this kind of thing. Joy, by the way, lest we misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't think people shouldn't have emotions, whatever. You know, like, pastor doesn't like that. No, don't go. Don't go saying that. I'm just talking about what our society is right now, right? Did you ever hear of emotional support animals before? Before, I don't know, maybe last 15, 20 years, never even heard of it. I mean, I think most men would have said, my dog is, man, I'm a goat. My dog's, you know what I mean? Wouldn't have thought it. We didn't have to get a vest on him to take him into the, we wouldn't have had to take him to the grocery store. Stay out of the car, well, you know, and then we're like, oh, you're going to hurt the, I don't know, anyway. I don't know if I help my case anywhere there either. So joy, however, is not found by being able to control our circumstances. No. Joy isn't found by controlling our circumstances. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We don't find joy when things happen differently. That's called happiness. Right? So the saddest Christians are the ones who are filled with their own agendas. But the happiest Christians are the ones who are fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. And as we've seen, this joy will express itself in song to the Lord. Somebody please read Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts.
Yes, so grace is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. Created by the Holy Spirit. It is grace that allows us to love. It is grace that carries us through our difficult times, right? So one of the manifestations of that grace is that we will sing and make melodies to the Lord. Okay, this particular is written by Paul Chaplin. He says this. So this, what I'm going to say here is his statement, and I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just saying he said, a good thermometer of the Spirit in a church is displayed during the music service. If people are distracted and disinterested, you know the Spirit of the Lord is not prevailing through the congregation. Yes, sir.
I watched the service on TV, and they panned the audience. There were a lot of people there in the congregation singing. I would say about half the people were not singing at all.
Yeah, so that's an indication of his service. No. Anyway. Well, and this isn't something that just because... Okay, by the way, to that point, I can will it all I want as the pastor. Right? But if the people aren't engaged and interested, I could tell the people, I don't know if... when I talk about, I think about in the sense of a spirit-filled, I'm talking about, I mean, I've seen some spirit-filled services that I would say, man, I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit-filled, but you know, it's something. But I'm going to tell you, when a growing Christian, I can tell who the growing Christians are by their interest and not being distracted. When people are tuned in, like, man, I want to hear something. What do you got to say? You ever had somebody, like you're being taught by somebody? And they're teaching something, and you're like, yeah, whatever, I don't need this. I have to take these courses. For part of our school, I have to take a course to keep documents, to keep because we get FBI documents of background checks for all the schools, the school board. So I have to keep, so in order to have those, I have to go through this training on how to deal with whether it's these little things or up to very classified or personal information. I have to go through all these courses. And so I used to like, I mean, I'm reading it. So, cause I got to take tests right away. And then I realized, so I had to it's already been over a year. So I've had to redo it again. Every year I have to redo it. And by this year, I'm like, okay, I don't need to pay attention. I can just answer the questions. My interest was different. When we want to grow, we want to learn, we are tuned in. And when we're like, heard it, done that, it's different. So there's some kind of, but what, you know, when people sing, you know, some people are just like, I'm not a singer. I was never a singer until I got saved. Honestly. And so when the people are using music to pour out their praise to the Lord, you know, God's Spirit is at work in our hearts. We find scriptures talk about this all the time. We find this singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We find this. We find this kind of situation. So one of the greatest distinctions of Christianity should be in its music, because the music God gives is not the music the world gives. It's different. Somebody, could somebody read Psalm 40, 1 through 3, 4, please?
I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Yeah. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord.
He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. What God put in our mouths is something new, and that is praise unto Him. And that doesn't come, it comes supernaturally. Come, we get that, He's put a change. When you got saved, God put a new song in your mouth. So according to Psalm 40, verse 3, where we say, your music preferences are seen by many, and they ought to reflect Christ in His praise. It ought to be different. One of the results of being filled with the Spirit is joy and the desire to express it in Christ-honoring music. I will say this, folks, and I'm not, these aren't cut and dry things, but I've seen, it's interesting, when I see somebody, they'll get saved. It happened with me, too. And at first, you're like, you still kind of listen to the same music, maybe a little bit different quality of it, and, you know, and then you're like, oh, there's some cussing in that one, and like, that one, you know, they're talking about women and wine and, you know, that. I'm telling you what happens, what's amazing. And there was one of our church members this during the revival. So when Brother Jett talked about music is not neutral, God convicted my heart that I needed to change my music. And that individual made a decision. What happened here is it put a new song in their mouth. And this is what happens. It's different. And you'll notice it right away, that feeling, that experience of what happens with that when the new song comes into your life. So let's go to B. B. It is a product of gratitude. Okay? It's a product of gratitude. Ephesians 5:20, we already read this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another manifestation of someone who is filled with the Spirit is the gratitude that comes forth from their life. So not only does music and singing and song and praise come out, but also this thing of gratitude. So the Spirit-filled Christian will give thanks always for all things, no exceptions. Now, doesn't mean we always get it perfect. But there's nothing that could come up in our life that we can't give thanks for. Is that true?
That's true.
All things. Even the worst of situations that's going to all but kill us, and I'm about to die. I'm on the deathbed. This thing that happened to me, it's about to kill me, and it wasn't my fault. Somebody did this to me. I'm just going to thank you, Lord. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Everything and all things. And can somebody read there First Thessalonians 5:18?
Yeah.
This is the will of God in everything, right? In everything, giving thanks. Gratitude is one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. This gratitude is always to be directed to the Father. This thing of gratitude is not a current cultural characteristic. Is that fair to say? This thing of gratitude is not something that we find. This now we instead of living in a culture of gratitude, we live in a culture of expectation. This is what abundance does. We live in a day of abundance. Thank the Lord. I'm not saying, God, would you get rid of this abundance? No, I'm not saying that. Can we have gratitude in little? Matter of fact, I've noticed at times the less someone has, the more grateful they are for what they get. Can we also have a gratitude in abundance? Absolutely we can. And matter of fact, if we're Spirit-filled, we will. And so, but it's always, you know, it's always to be directed toward the Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, whether it's little or big. Now, I'd rather be thankful for a good lot of stuff, right? But if it's Lord-directed, whether He gives me this little bit of seeds of manna or He gives us the quail, we should be able to have gratitude. And that's part of what's coming out of our life. So looking into your own life, Are there things that you grumble about to the Lord? Really? You bunch of grumbling people? Yeah, well, this becomes part of our life. Lord, I can't believe, you know, why is this? It feels like we should have a cane. Why does this have to happen? You know, feel, I don't know, like a Scrooge or something. Like, isn't that funny? You ever watch The Christmas Carol? Isn't it funny how he starts? He's like this, and he kind of getting, and afterwards he's up, and this stuff, I mean, it's a movie, it's a book, it's a, you know, story, but the concept there is this kind of thing is what it does. But grumbling, we've got to really realize when I'm grumbling, I'm not yielding. Is that we see that? So what if instead of complaining, you thank God for His faithfulness in the midst of it and yield to the Holy Spirit? Watch this. Instead of insisting God change it. Usually what we want to do, God, get this out of my life. Whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's a job, whether it's a person. God, would you get this person? They want to keep sitting by me, right? Y'all looking around now, okay. Some of y'all are like, yeah, that's why we're not sitting by anybody. No, so you find that what God, instead of saying, God, can you get this out of my life? Thank you for bringing this into my life. I don't always understand why God brings it in. I do try to figure out what God's trying to teach me. I don't always get to it. Well, God, why did you bring this person in my life? Why did you bring this situation? Thank you, Lord, for doing that, because there's something you're doing. Nothing's on accident, right? We've talked about that. The Holy Spirit will fill your life with gratitude when we will thank God, replacing the complaining. So if I hear you complaining, I automatically know you're not Spirit-filled. Right? No. Here's what I want us to get to. This is about me. When I find myself complaining, I can realize, you know what? I'm not doing what?
Yielding.
I'm not yielding. I just need to be more thankful. Don't we say that to people? They just need to be more thankful. Well, there's a process to get there, isn't it? We just need to yield to the Lord. Not just yielding to the Lord. That just isn't just, is it? It's a little bit more than it's surrender. Let's get to the third thing. It is a product of cooperation. He says there in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Everyone likes to be around cooperative people. I do. I love being around cooperative people, and I less than love. I'm just going to use that word. Less than love being around non-cooperative people. Y'all know what I mean? Everyone likes a team player, but not everyone likes to be the cooperative team player. Isn't it funny? We all like cooperative team players, but we all want to be the coach. Isn't that something? Human nature, man, who needs it, right? We all got it. But this is, we all love cooperative people. We don't always like being that cooperative one. Cooperative, to be cooperative takes what? Well, what did we just talk about here in verse 21? Well, it's another word for it, though.
Submitting.
Okay, I have it written down. Y'all probably don't have it there again. Sorry. Submitting one to another. You know what it means? Matthew wants to, you know, just eat potato chips. I'm like, no, let's have more than potato chips. He's like, no, I just want to. And like, you know what? I can go get some broccoli later. No, I'm not going to get broccoli later. But you know what? It's submitting. Say, you know what? We can. That's being a team player says, let's do something different. Is that right? You always want potato chips? Yeah, that's right. Okay. I wasn't off on that. Okay. So when we are dying to self, which we talked about last lesson, a willingness to serve and cooperate with others will permeate our activities. Okay? When we die to self, cooperation is what happens. When I'm no longer the one in charge of everything that happens in my life, I don't need to have my way. Matter of fact, it's almost as if I'm not sure what my way is anymore. What do you want to do? Just whatever y'all want to do. Now, I'm not talking about that indecisiveness. That's something that's also just as annoying. Hey, what do you want to eat? I don't care. Okay, how about this? Okay, how about... No, but anything else than that. Well, how about this? Oh, that thing too. Well, you know, indecisive is... I'm not talking about indecisive. I'm talking about this thing that says when I've died to my way because I've yielded to the Lord, or whatever, you know, it's a different thing. So... We will be willing to relinquish our rights as the supreme objective. Listen, it's not, I have a right to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and nobody should be able to tell me what to do. Is that true? That is true. We live in America. Amen? Got the right. I got a whole bill of them. Right? Got the Bill of Rights. I got a right to remain silent. I don't use that one very often.
Yeah, right.
But we have these rights. So the thing comes is this: when we die to self, self just doesn't live on that rights thing. It's a different situation. And so what we end up finding is this spirit of cooperation overtakes us. So we don't insist on the spotlight, and we won't be determined that ours are the only right opinions. You ever had any opinions? Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, you know I do. Our opinions don't necessarily have to be wrong for someone else's to be right. Does that make sense? Someone says, well, I think this. Someone says, well, I think this. Can we? I'm not talking about truth. I'm talking about opinions. Can both people be right? Sure. And so, usually my opinions are more right than the other guy's. Don't y'all think that way? Right, we think that way. But this thing of cooperation says, you know what? Let's try another way. Right? It doesn't. This is the spirit of it. It takes over. The spirit-filled Christian is willing to take the position of a servant. So, can somebody read Mark 10:45, please? That's what Jesus came to do. And do you have a spirit of cooperation in your relationships? This is what we're talking about here. The spirit-filled Christian is a humble Christian. Again, can I say this? Humility isn't something that we try harder to be. I just need to be more humble. Man, I mean, I've really got great at everything else, but man, I'm just humility. I'm trying to work on just being more humble, right? I think the way to work on being more humble is probably all this thing, just not talking about it. Really is this thing of dying to self. You want to be humble? You want to do humility? Do yielding, dying to yourself and do yielding to the Spirit of God. Humility then is what comes out. Humility isn't what we do, it's what we become. Does that make sense? It's what comes out of us then. As Ephesians 5:21 tells us this, and we had looked at that back there, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This humble position of serving others is because we have an even greater respect and adherence to them. No. To who? To the Lord. I'm not submitting to them because, man, they are so smart. It's easy to submit to smart people or bigger and stronger people. Whatever you want. You ever see somebody like, hey, whatever you want, right? You know, like, what? You know, so you're like, yeah, okay. It's easy to submit to people that you think have great ideas, but that's probably not who we're going to struggle with submitting to. Who we're going to struggle with submitting to is those that have really opposing ideas or something I've never thought about and somebody that's maybe I don't think much of. And so it's this thing of I'm actually submitting to God, right? What I'm actually doing is submitting to Him. And because of my relationship with Him, it's an adherence to God. The Spirit-filled Christian's fear of God is displayed by cooperatively, that's a hard word, working alongside of others. When we work alongside of others in cooperation, I like that word better, cooperatively. The fear of God is displayed by that. See, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we work with other people. I just don't like people. Well, I mean, who does? I mean, you've heard me say before, you know, a deserted island where there's no people would be great until you get lonely. Right? But a demonstration of the fear of God. And here's the thing. You can't live in the fear of God. Living in the fear of God means, not who I'm afraid, but living in the fear of God is honor, respecting, and wanting to follow Him. You can't live in the fear of God and not be around people. Because He demands us, commands us to reach others and to be with others and to minister one to another and submit one to another. You can't do that on your own. You can't do that on a deserted island, which is a bummer. It's a bummer. I mean, you know what I mean? Y'all know what I mean. Y'all are thinking, man, Pastor doesn't like any of us. No, I'm just saying people are, you know, I like it when mine is the only, I would love it. I'm in the place and I shout out, here's what I want to do. And all right, nobody disagrees, right? And, but one of the evidences in our life is that I'm spirit-filled is when I can cooperatively, I did it that time, work alongside with other people. You know, the person that says, yeah, they just don't work well with others. That's That's an unchristian characteristic. Make sense? So all of us would love these products of the Spirit-filled life in our own lives. You know, joy, gratitude, cooperation, these are great things. And they can be part of our life. We simply must, yield our own way to the Holy Spirit and give Him full control. It's a complicated lesson this morning. It's just really this, yield, right? And so when we yield, what I've just talked about this morning is what it will look like. What comes out of us when we're yielding. So when we think of that iceberg, and we think of our life that's building below the baseline, what's being built below the baseline is the yielding. And can I say this sometimes? Sometimes we're agonizing over the yielding. Agonizing over it. I don't want to do this. Don't want to. Or I want to do this. I want to do this thing, and I know God. We agonize under the below the baseline. I want to do this thing, God. And you know, and I don't. You know, we don't always get our way. We don't always. And so sometimes we realize this isn't. Matter of fact, it's not about getting my way or not. It's about saying, God, I'm going to yield to Your way, not my way. It doesn't even matter what my way. I'm going to say my way. I'm going to take my way off the table. God, what is Your way? By the way, God's way may be your way too. It's not about my way versus God's way. Come on, that's where we start. But as the more we live for the Lord, His way and my way become one. That's why God gives us the desires of our heart, because He's changed our heart. And now my ways are so lined up with His ways, it's not even about my way anymore. And God gets the credit for me doing what I want to do. Isn't that awesome? And so we find this situation. I'm going to give Him full control. And, man, there's a peace that passeth all understanding in that place. But all that yielding happens below the baseline. Happens below there, and we're working on that thing. And what comes out is amazing. Here's our conclusion for this lesson. Most of these lessons, I only spent about 3 weeks. That's not the conclusion. That's an ongoing conclusion. A Christian who will survive life's storms, right? This one. A Christian who will survive life's storms must have a continual feeling of the Holy Spirit below the baseline. This is not just a once-for-all decision. It's not something we get. It's not at salvation. I'm going to let the Spirit control me from now on. Wouldn't that be great? Okay, it's over. No. It's a continual surrender and yielding, continually, daily. Yeah, what's that? Die to yourself daily, that's it. And it's the only way to really experience, this is what I'm going to say to you, this is the last statement. It is the only way to really experience all that God intends for us in this Christian life. It's the only way. I want to say a lot more, but I said that's the last thing I'm going to say. Next week, we're going to start on spiritual discipline. It's time for us to get some discipline, right? Spiritual discipline. No, we're going to look at that next week and begin there. And amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time today and through these weeks on about being filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might really just understand it's really about us. Surrendering us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to keep our heart and our mind, our thoughts on in that direction. We'll give You thanks for it now in Jesus' name.